that's where I do want to start, because there were so many tremendous moments from this year's group. If you could try and pinpoint one moment that really is just going to stay with you for a lifetime, what do you think that would be?
I think it was probably that last week of the season. You know, we go down, you know, we get the bye in the quarterfinals of the SUNYAC tournament, and, you know, then we're matched up with Geneseo in the semifinals on that Friday down at New Paltz. And we had just come off a, I think it was 20-some, maybe even close to 30-point loss versus Geneseo that Saturday prior to close out the regular season. And, you know, some people, I think we had, you know, beat Geneseo in the regular season early on in December. And then when they came to our place to close out the regular season, it was senior day, obviously a lot of emotion. You know, we kind of weren't playing for any seedings. We knew we had locked in that second seed, and first half was a great half of basketball. We played very well. And then it was the second half was probably one of the worst halves we played. So we came out of that game knowing that it was the tale of two halves and knowing that we were going to most likely get matched up with them on Friday. You know, they had to beat Brockport in the quarterfinals. You know, we spent a lot of time on watching film and evaluating what we did poorly. What did we do good that we have to continue to do? And so to go down there to New Paltz, you know, play on a neutral floor and grind out a win versus them in the semifinals was awesome, you know.
Yeah.
And then to get matched up for New Paltz in the championship game. And when I looked in the locker room, you know, there wasn't one girl on the team who had played for a SUNYAC championship before. So, you know, I think our nerves were going a little bit. And, you know, we came out and, you know, there was an injury in that first quarter. And we got on our heels a little bit, but to show our fight, you know, and pull the game within one in the third quarter was awesome. And that was, you know, a moment that we'll all remember, even though we didn't come out on top and win that championship. Just to be in that situation was a great learning experience for myself and I'm sure all of my young players.
You mentioned you didn't come away with the win. And with that, obviously, no automatic berth. Did you have a feeling that, you know, the chances were pretty good for you to reach the NCAA tournament and get an at-large?
Well, this, you know, it's been interesting because this is very new to me because obviously the regional rankings really don't come into effect Division I, and that's what I've known, you know, majority of my coaching career.
Yeah.
And that's why I joined the committee was just kind of to learn more about it and what goes into it. And then early in the fall, they're like, oh, hey, you're going to be the chair. And I said, okay, you know, not knowing. So it's definitely been a learning experience. But knowing, you know, where we were in the regional rankings, you know, with being third behind New Paltz and Ithaca, you know, we were just hoping that they, you know, if we didn't win the SUNYAC and get that automatic bid, that New Paltz was going to get the AQ. And we wanted Ithaca. I know, you know, we're not fans of Ithaca most of the season, but we were a fan of them that day. You know, wanting them to get that automatic bid. And then we were going to hopefully be the first team up on the board. And, you know, you never know how it goes across the country. Are teams that are supposed to be winning their conference, are there? Are there a ton of upsets? So it was very nerve-wracking, you know, that all day Sunday and Monday waiting for that selection show was a little stressful. You know, I was hoping and praying, and I thought for sure looking at the numbers that we had a good chance, but you really don't know until you see your name up on the screen.
JC Brooks joining us here on VTL, head coach of the SUNY Cortland women's basketball team. Well, the selection show must have been a huge sigh of relief because it was, what, maybe 5 minutes in and you found out, all right, you're in. So what was that like, and how did all of you kind of, I want to say celebrate, but get together to watch the selection show?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, Division III, they have it, I think it was at 2:30, maybe 3 o'clock, or 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday. And majority of my girls have class. So, you know, obviously they're a student first. So they said, Coach, can we not go to class? I said, no, you need to still go to class. and, you know, well, whoever doesn't have class will watch and kind of go from there. And, yeah, when that first quadrant came up on that left corner side, it was within a few seconds that we heard our name called, and they were extremely excited, you know, lots of cheers, some tears, I think, for my seniors who knew they got that extra opportunity to put on a Cortland uniform one more time, you know, just meant so much to them. But it was, yeah, it was like, holy cow. And then I got to enjoy it for a few minutes, and then it was, okay, let's get to work. Let me look up Western New England and what they're about and start watching film.
J.C. Brooks, head coach of SUNY Cortland Women's Basketball, joining us here on BTL. The Red Dragons, 22-7 on the season. I do want to talk about that Western New England game, because here I am trying to kind of flip back and forth between your game and the Ithaca College women's game and the IC men's basketball game. There's a lot of good local basketball. They're actually not just local, but like a lot of New York and regional teams playing within the postseason. But Beth Bonin and Nia Longford were unbelievably fun to watch. They finished for a combined 52 points. For somebody like Beth, who's an honorable mention All-American, I mean, what can you say about what she provided this program in her one and final season as a Red Dragon?
Right. I mean, the biggest thing with Beth is when she came in, you know, even in the fall, with the girls and playing pickup and in the weight room and conditioning, she immediately had an impact on them from the very start. You know, it's not like she had to figure out where she's going to fit in and this and that. She was able to do that because she could lead by example. Yeah. And, you know, I think the girls had the utmost respect for her because obviously her skill level, you know, but her work ethic, you know, of putting in that extra time in the gym. And, you know, she just kind of came in and found her niche. You know, offensively, she was able to fit into the system great, you know, obviously. But she was that leader, you know, for us on the floor, you know, and it's been a while. I mean, we didn't have that person, you know, last year where if we needed a bucket to have that go-to player, and Beth was that for us in a lot of situations. But she just, you know, comes in and her work ethic, her leadership, and I think the girls kind of got on her little train, and I think it went to show. But I was happy that she could actually finish out her college career no matter where it was, you know, to be able to have a great experience. I know she didn't have a great year, you know, the past year at Queens, and to finish out your college career going out like that, you know, I think it's fantastic. It's kind of, you know, her last chapter that she wrote, and it's a great ending to the book.
Well, for people who don't know, and you kind of alluded to it a little while ago, you play double duty over there because obviously you're the head coach of the women's basketball team, but as you mentioned, you're the East Region chair of the basketball committee, and you were at Tufts, if I'm understanding this right, you were at Tufts last weekend as the site rep when it was announced that all NCAA tournament games were canceled. Can you take me through all of that? Can you take me back to that moment, like when you found out, how you found out, who you had to tell, and what the, I mean, we know what the end result was like, but there in that moment, what was the end result like?
Yeah, so I actually, I ended up taking a flight because I knew I had just come back from Massachusetts, you know, a couple days before. I said, you know, I'm going to look to see if there's a quick flight instead of driving, you know, 5.5 hours out to Boston. So I flew out early that morning out of Syracuse, and, you know, I went to the gym right away and, you know, obviously going through my checklist of things that I have to make sure are, you know, right with the signage and the locker rooms and all that jazz. And in the back of my mind, you know, I was like, oh, gosh, where is this going to go? You know, just because of everything that had happened throughout the week. And we all know how quickly things were happening. And, you know, when I was online in the morning and I saw these Division I tournaments are canceling their conference tournaments, I said, uh-oh, you know, yeah. I got a little nervous, you know, and even the Big East when they canceled at halftime. And I was nervous on where it was going to go. And I had been in touch with a tournament director, and he said, JC, what do you think? And I said, I don't know. I haven't gotten anything from the NCAA, but from everything else that's going on, you know, I'm not sure what's going to happen. But we proceeded. We had the practices lined up on that Thursday, and one team had come in and did their whole, you know, I think like an hour and a half, did their whole practice. And the second team was practicing when I finally got the email from the NCAA that said, hey, this isn't going to happen. There was a little protocol that we had to follow with letting, you know, the coaches know if they were currently practicing. And so I pulled the coach over and let her know. And you could just see the disappointment, you know, and it's, And even as a coach, I felt her pain, because it's not the disappointment for you as a coach. It's a disappointment for the kids, you know, that this is what they have dreamed of, and they're not going to get the opportunity. And so she kind of just brought her kids into the middle of the floor. And, you know, there were a lot of tears, which I felt their pain. You know, my heart hurt for them that they had advanced to ultimately the Sweet 16 of the Division III tournament, and they're not going to get that opportunity to advance. And, you know, so it just, I kind of finished things up there and hopped up on a flight and changed my flight and was able to get back to Syracuse that night. But it was kind of a bizarre situation, you know, just knowing that, hey, teams are practicing for this. And then all of a sudden it's like, no, your season's over.
Yeah. Taken away.
Yeah. So it was unfortunate, but my heart definitely hurt for those players, you know, that they just didn't get that opportunity.
Yeah. This is a wild situation. Before I let you run, I do want to know how this is affecting you right now, in the sense of how you're handling recruiting, how you're trying to handle, I mean, I'm sure there were camps and stuff like that you were planning on attending, planning on hosting, all of that stuff. I mean, a lot of it's in flux. So is it for you kind of a day-by-day sort of thing? Are you trying to plan ahead with everything that you normally would do in the off season?
Right. I'm trying, it's been a little difficult, but I'm just trying to be as flexible as I can.
Yeah.
You know, from a recruiting standpoint, I'm thankful I'm in a decent situation with my verbal commitments, and I feel good about the number that I have. But you know, there's still recruits out there, and so I can't bring them to campus, but you know, I've been trying to do some stuff with virtual tours and stuff where they can still get a feel. And having FaceTime conversations with me instead of just texting, you know, how this generation just wants to text, but actually having communication with them that way. You know, so it has been a little weird, but, you know, I'm still planning for, you know, the summer and camp and praying that everything gets worked out, that we're still able to hold those. I also coach AAU, so that has been on a hold, you know, so trying to figure out, hey, when can I get back in the swing of things with my AAU program. And but right now I think it's just a waiting game. It's a waiting game for a lot of people. But you know, everybody has to be flexible, and you have to make adjustments and make the best out of every situation. And I, you know, that's my goal, is there's no need to get down about it, because there's a lot of people that are in similar situations or even worse situations, unfortunately. So I'm thankful that I am where I am, and you know, I'll continue to work how I can, given the circumstances that we have.
Excellent. JC, I really appreciate the time during all of this stuff that's going on. And again, tremendous season for you and the women over there at C State. Thanks so much, and looking forward to seeing what you guys pull off next year, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Nick. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.